Energy Singularity, the Event Horizon Podcast, a podcast where energy blockchain visionaries discuss the future of energy. When it comes to blockchain technology in the energy sector, you may be a big believer or you may be a bit of a skeptic, but you have to admit it's been changing the conversation for the past few years. In the run-up to Event Horizon, join me, Kevin O'Donovan, as I chat with some of the world's leading visionaries to take a realistic view as to what's really going on. In episode 2, Hype versus Reality, Blockchain Technology Today, we're going to take a look at what blockchain technologies are out there today, what energy industry use cases it's currently suited to, and what we can expect in terms of blockchain technologies and innovation for the rest of the year. Joining me to discuss these topics are Ed Hesse, the co-founder and CEO of Grid Singularity, and Walter Cook, the Chief Operating Officer at the Energy Web Foundation. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Ed, for people who may not know you, can you do a quick introduction?
Yeah, sure. My name is Ed Hesse. I'm one of the founders of Grid Singularity and also founder of the Energy Web Foundation. I've been active in energy market for 15 years and in blockchain since 6 years.
And Walter?
I'm Walter. I'm actually into the energy sector since December last year. Before that, I've mainly worked in the telecoms, and the last 4 years before the energy web, I actually worked at ING Bank, and I'm into blockchain since 3 years, roughly.
Now, back in episode 1, Reality Bites, we certainly got a great dose of reality from Marzia and Scott, looking back at all the hype we've lived through in the past 2 years or so. And we got their perspectives on some of the challenges and the opportunities that exist for blockchain today. So Ed, when it comes to blockchain technology, what's available out there today?
I mean, that's a very broad question because it really depends on the use case. I think if we're looking at the core layer, what kind of core technologies are there that can be used? In the recent report that we have provided from Event Horizon, which gives quite a good overview of what all these startups are using on the core layer, there is, of course, Ethereum, there is a bunch of private Ethereum chains, then EnergyWeb, and a couple of closed consortia chains. So what has changed in the past is basically a lot of the core technology has been scaled. So compared to when the hype started 3 years ago was the first public meeting at the MIT Media Lab, which was actually hosted by Scott Klavina at that time. At that time, we had Ethereum was the limited bandwidth and very little middleware layer, meaning digestibility for developers. There, a lot happened. So it has become much easier to dive in for developers. So it has become more convenient to develop on it. And there have been a couple of ways how you can have a cheaper and faster blockchain, which is basically the proof of authority chains. We have seen a big movement here, and one of the energy kind of chains here, and this is EnergyWeb. The technology has become way more usable in the last 3 years. Besides that, we have seen an incredible increase in developers going into the space. And of course, what's the latest blockchain technology? I mean, there is a bunch of, let's say, besides the blockchain technology itself, a big chunk of the technology is actually front-end layer and the connection to the hardware devices. So light clients and so forth, and wallets and so forth. There meanwhile, we have a broad range of light client products out in the market. And on the front end, there is now way more wallets that are available. So meaning the tech is maturing on all sides, and we are not far away anymore from seeing it going live.
Yeah, it's fair to say that the technology has matured a lot in the past couple of years. And as you say, not just the technology, but the entire ecosystem. Gone are the days where you had to download the source code and start your own blockchain from scratch, you know, with what the Energy Web Foundation is doing, bringing out a platform. As you said, a lot of companies bringing out light clients, people bringing out wallets. I don't have to do everything myself anymore. I can start taking the building blocks and starting to look for the business cases. Now, that said, many in the industry will still look at it and say, yeah, it's made great progress, but it still needs to mature a bit more before it's ready for prime time. But I also look at what the likes of Google, IBM, Amazon, Microsoft are doing, bringing out blockchain as a service, you know, again, making it more and more easy for people to start, hey, what can I start doing with blockchain? So a lot done, more to do, but it's certainly headed in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I think, Kevin, I think what you see is that in the past years, it's been actually a lot of technical talent proving that it can work, that you can run decentralized networks, get to consensus, different consensus mechanisms, like Ed's saying. And in my view, and particularly what I see the difference also with the financial industry, but we're now at a point where that's no longer the discussion. It's now actually, how do you apply this new technology with all its promises to real business cases? And we see many of them, you know, but the blockchain itself is real. Actually, as we speak at this moment in time, it's we're bringing our pre-production chain live today. We'll go live before Event Horizon in June, and then people can go and do real commerce on it. So it's there. A lot of large existing corporates are now stepping into the market too. And now it's really about enabling these use cases. And we see a lot of them already in the energy sector ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, what else has changed dramatically is really the discussion points, you know. Yeah. I remember when we started, the first discussions was mainly about the technology. Now it's only about the business models. And the learning curve in the energy industry was enormously steep. I haven't seen any other topic in the energy industry that was adopted so fast. You know, now in most of the energy companies I speak to, they know exactly where you can use this technology, where it does not make any sense. Yeah, no.
Now, some people may not be familiar with the Energy Web Foundation. So can you give us an overview as to what the role of the Energy Web Foundation has been and the role it continues to play in the industry today?
Founding the Energy Web Foundation at that time, as 2.5 years ago, we were inspired by Ethereum. So the idea was, on the one side, education about this technology and deployment within the energy sector. And on the other side, something that is very rare in the energy sector, provide open source software and so frameworks so that the tools themselves. And as we started doing this, I think at the first Event Horizon in 2017, we announced the Energy Web Foundation together with a founding partner, Rocky Mountain Institute. And since then, we by now have over 104, 105 yeah. affiliates. And as we are now going live, so what the chain actually is, I mean, so EnergyWeb has built a couple of products. The main product is the chain, and the chain is actually run by the affiliates. So, and it's a permission validator, which is the affiliates, but it's a public chain. Anyone can actually use it. It's completely free. There is no bouncer to use the network.
I think that is very important. So it's unique about, first of all, it's proof of authority, so it's very fast. Every 5 seconds, a new block gets created. It's totally open. Anybody can develop application on it. However, the validators are known, are whitelisted, and are players from the energy market. So large enterprises and startups that put their brand at stake. So it's unique also in the sense of all the proof of authority networks. So it brings together both of us well. And I'm on these calls, of course, with the validators because they're spinning up their nodes. And you can see the excitement also in the energy market where it really becomes a reality for them too. And they have to deal with simple things like how do you deal with digital currency? Great, we are minting the tokens, but where do we store them? And so it really brings it home. I think it's a unique position.
Just to deepen this, there is the largest corporations in the world now spinning up validator nodes.
Yeah. And IT departments worrying about.
Yeah, and a lot of lawyers figuring out how to deal, and accountants how to deal with
tax implications.
Tax implications, tokens. So yeah. The whole industry is really digging into this. And I think this was already the biggest success of the Energy Web Foundation. This very diverse group of people, but all in energy, startups, investors, large corporations, from transmission system operators, DSOs, retailers, they all came together and have agreed upon this common layer. So for me, this is already kind of a revolution for itself, where I haven't seen any similar in energy, that all those kind of participants in a market that is very fractionalized, very regional, you know, now have agreed upon a global layer.
Certainly in some of the conversations I've had with people in the industry, they see a huge benefit via the Energy Web Foundation, where people can come together. You know, they're all trying to solve the same type of problems. They're all dealing with the same level of technology complexity. So the ability to be able to, if you like, pool resources and put all the bright minds together trying to solve common problems, they see it as a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, that's naturally one of the biggest advantages in consortia is you save costs and innovation. Everything we do here is open source, and so we pool information. There was a lot of work, working groups and task forces and so forth, and all this was available to all the other affiliates, which joined at a later stage. And so this kind of accelerated even the learning curve, because you didn't have to scratch from yourself and your own team and so forth and find the professionals. So that is the biggest advantage of such a consortium. And I have to say, you know, every time you say like our platform, it's actually not our platform. It's the platform run by the affiliates. You know, that's the interesting thing here that we haven't seen before. As the chain launches, the foundation loses a lot of its power. It's actually run by all the affiliates.
Yeah, it's by design indeed. And I think the other good element of the, let's say, the conglomerate is that there's also a lot of startups. So the big corporates have access to those kind of innovations, but on the other hand, the startups that are part of our ecosystem have really good access through the foundation to these large corporates. And it's really a one-on-one-is-three type of approach. So, But it is true, when we are live, we will actually hand more and more responsibility to the validators to the point where Energy Web Foundation is no longer needed. And the mission has been completed.
Yeah, we're actually in the process of decentralizing ourselves.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Now, that's a fascinating point. It really brings home how blockchain does drive decentralization, how it forces you to think about the way things are structured, the way things are done. It opens up a whole new set of possibilities.
Totally. Yeah, it actually also forces us to change our business model. You know, Energy Web as a nonprofit foundation, you can look at it as Linux, and we also use the same license for our code, the GPL3 license. But as we decentralize ourselves, I mean, we have to look for new ways, and we also forced to change our business model. Previously, we were funded by all the affiliates to develop the chain and the features which enable the affiliates to build applications. But this is basically changing into a similar business model like Red Hat. So we have a bunch of affiliates that are asking us, can you actually deploy this for us? And they're working together with other affiliates, the startups, as Walter said before, but also together with us.
Yeah, so your role changes basically. So we are provider of the blockchain. That's been our main purpose so far. We'll bring it live. And then there's a real need with a lot of the energy corporates and startups to actually, you know, get help and get a business case to work, or solutions for connecting their assets, or solutions for issuing certificates, et cetera, et cetera. So we're moving more and more into the business processes.
So most of the features or frameworks that we have built, like asset registry, certificate of origin, T3A, all of that is open source on the GitHub repository, but a lot of transmission system operators or DSOs, they are asking themselves, how can we actually deploy this and who can do this for us and so forth. And here, in cooperation with other affiliates, we are building solutions.
Now, let me play devil's advocate for a second. When I was chatting with Marzia and Scott in episode 1, one of the key themes out there in the industry is that while people see blockchain as cool and there's some great innovation going on, but it's not really ready for prime time just yet. It's still immature. We're still trying to figure it out. So many of them seem to be, I'll just sit on the fence and I'll see what happens.
First of all, I'm working on a day-to-day basis with a lot of participants from the energy sector on attacking the challenges with the blockchain. So these guys have clearly come off the fence and they're in action mode. And it's across the world. It's in my home country, the Netherlands. It's in Asia, it's in Africa, it's in the US, it's everywhere in Europe. So I think, you know, to sit on the fence and hope some good stuff happens, my advice to all these listeners would be get off the fence, give a call to Berlin or take a train or a drive to Berlin and let's explore, in your case, you know, what the real value is. Because in my experience, not just with blockchain, but with any new technology, with big promises, is the value actually sits in the doing. And there's a lot of practical use cases already. Some of our affiliates are already commercializing those solutions. even on our testnet, Utabalaba, but they run real trades already using the blockchain. So it's happening, it's there. And I think the worry about is it scalable, et cetera, privacy features, you know, these are generic, we're addressing them. But getting started with it, doing it now, get the learning in your organization, work with partners like ours, work with our affiliates, I think that's the route to go.
So if you look in the executive summary of blockchain startups, who is who, directly on the second page, you see actually we show the status of the different startups. And compared to a year ago, majority is now in go-to-market, ready to commercialize. And that's exactly what we hope to see at the event Horizon, is all the startups showing the real applications from that. So if still someone comes to me right now and says, you know, what's the use of it? It's like, okay, it, you know, in half a year, it could be too late.
It's certainly fair to say that for people who are deeply involved in blockchain and the energy industry, they are aware that there are companies out there bringing solutions to the market today that use blockchain as an enabling technology under the covers. Yet there are many out there that are not aware that this is going on. Now, when you're out there with your affiliates and all the various energy companies that you guys engage with, is the conversation around blockchain, is it evolving? Is it getting more mature? Has the hype died down? What's going on?
I think what has changed is that it's a much more balanced discussion now. So probably a couple of years ago, whatever your problem was, the solution is the blockchain. And now it's much more balanced in the sense that, hey, this is your business problem. Here's how we use the blockchain, but here's where we use other mechanisms. And then the combination is then the total solution. So I think that is probably, doing some self-reflection from a technology perspective. That's definitely what's happening now, because, of course, it's not useful for all the applications. But in many business problems, it has a real good function. We're seeing much more advanced solutions now that use the blockchain rather than just the blockchain. Yeah.
Now, as cool as blockchain technology is, people are not going to deploy it simply because it's cool. It's got to bring value. It's got to make something easier, bring up new opportunities. So what are the types of use cases you're seeing people in the energy industry today go after?
So looking at our affiliates and non-affiliates, nearly a quarter of researching or deploying on peer-to-peer trading. Then you have IoT, demand response, EV, and certificates of origin. Now, whereas, you know, peer-to-peer trading, what is possible now, deploy peer-to-peer systems in closed consortia chains, which are not public and so forth, because public blockchains bring their own problems with it in scalability. And we haven't yet seen any peer-to-peer deployments on public chains. Here, I think a lot still has to happen on the privacy side and as well on the regulatory side and on the scaling side.
No, I recognize that. I think I would say peer-to-peer is being researched and being studied. But what's really happening, Kevin, where we're heavily involved in and a lot of the of our affiliates are actually the green certificates. There's a really good use case to if you have producing assets of green energy, to actually get those productions on the blockchain and issue certificates. And there's at least 12 or 14 implementations that I know of, either done by ourselves or by our affiliates in that space. So I think that's really the low-hanging fruit. And that market is really growing really fast. And of course, that will be further enhanced if more of these green assets come. But of course, you get much more distributed energy assets in your grid. So then again, flexibility comes into play, and also the peer-to-peer. But I think that the real traction now is around the certificates of origin and how then to monetize on existing assets.
Yeah, that's definitely technology-wise the most simple.
A really good use case for blockchain. Really good use case.
It has been interesting to watch the evolution of the use cases. You know, all the hype was around blockchain enabling peer-to-peer markets worldwide. And yet, when you look at some of the concrete use cases that are being deployed out there, it's around RECs, tracking renewable energy certificates. Some people looking at supply chain, a couple of folks looking at how do I implement electric vehicle charging. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a believer in something like peer-to-peer will be the energy market of the future. But, 5-10 years down the line, Marzia made a great point in episode one where she called out, instead of peer-to-peer, maybe it's peer-to-market. So I do see that evolving. But yet, some of the more concrete use cases that people are looking at today are more the mundane things that happen in the energy industry and solving some of today's problems rather than trying to boil the ocean.
Definitely, yeah. And you know, if all the assets get a digital identity, and you can understand these supply chains or value chains, you can do, of course, you can record what's really happening. It's immutable, so there's the evidence. You can then actually check, did it also happen? The commitments, did the asset deliver the power? And you can do instant settlement. So I agree, it's a matter of time. It will happen, that's for sure, because, again, from my own memory, there's probably, where I'm personally involved, 8 or 10 affiliates where we're having these discussions, where they're architecting solutions. But it's not will we or should we, it's more how we're going to do it. I think some tests will be running this year, but it's inevitable, it will happen, I agree, definitely.
And as it happens, and we see projects that are about to deploy, production ready. I think what we will witness then is actually kind of some of the first network effects in energy. We haven't seen yet any network effects simply because it's, you know, it's very regional, local markets. But I mean, one of the strongest cases that blockchain brings is its interoperability. And we have built a couple of frameworks in the foundation that have been picked up by a couple of the affiliates, like certificates of origin and marketplaces on top of it. And so the first kind of appearance of a network effect we start to see is some of the EV charging startups, they have taken up this framework and embedded this framework in their EV charging applications just to offer their clients the choice where the electricity comes from. And, you know, so this will continue as you go into peer-to-peer or offering DERs. They will also, you know, start to reuse the certificate of origin asset registries in other frameworks. Yeah, exactly. That is kind of the network effect, which will lead to even faster innovation because you don't have to do the whole thing again. You don't have to do the identity again. You don't have to do the certificate of origin again. You just have to focus on what is the real added value you bring there without, you know, re-innovating all the repetitive stuff.
Yeah. And the plumbing has been done, basically.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Now, that's a very good point on the plumbing is getting done. The infrastructure is being built out underneath. You know, in the last episode, we were chatting about when will we know if blockchain has arrived and is mature? It's when we stop talking about it. And when people are talking about the different types of energy services they're getting, like the way we do with the apps and the smartphone world today, we don't talk about the underlying technology.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Totally. And I think, in my view, we'll get the same dynamic as you see on Amazon Echo, for example, that people just started to upskill on the device, etc. Same can happen here. If we really have a good kit for in the house and we have a smart meter that's connected and you have some solar on the roof and a battery in your garden, people will start developing skills and you can download them on your infrastructure and you can make some money at night when you're asleep with your assets or whatever. It will happen, yeah. And it would be really, really cool too, because it's. I don't think anybody, any consumer thinks like that when he or she thinks about electricity. It will be become something that could potentially generate money for you. Yeah?
I think in general, I don't see many consumers thinking about electricity. I mean, how often do you change the supply?
Well, in our country, every year.
Yeah, but with this technology kind of digging into the flexibility and enabling flexibility, it basically turns devices into revenue bringing objects, yeah. You know, into investment objects. And imagine you come home and you know how much money the battery makes, or how much money your car makes,
yeah, or fridge, yeah.
Or you know how you could optimize. Imagine a fridge with a return on investment curve. Yeah. This is crazy.
So when I worked at Vodafone, we had, this was in 2008. We said we need to put a SIM card in all our devices. Probably now we need to put a battery in all the devices.
well, if you look at the CES, they already have fridges which drive after you to bring you the beer. You know, when I saw this video, I immediately thought, oh my god, this thing can actually trade electricity. It must have a battery in there.
Yeah, true.
Now the pace of innovation around blockchain technology doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. So what can we expect to see in the next 12 months or so?
So what we will see is definitely the launch of EnergyWeb. And so with this, a lot of applications that will start to go live. We will see the appearance of the first decentralized app store globally in the energy market. That is already writing history. And as with innovation happens, you know, we will see a lot of stuff popping up and going away again. And then, so now the competition really starts.
Agree. And what you see now, and I really hope to be feeling that pain of, because there's a lot of discussions now on how do you scale the blockchain, etc. And I would really love to have that problem. That there's so many apps running on the energy web chain that we go into scalability issues. That would be something to be proud of, I guess. But I think that there will be a lot of, I would say, developments on what is the architecture for real scalable networks. And there's, of course, a lot happening there with Ethereum 2.0 or Polkadot type architectures. And I think there will be a lot more when the real adoption happens on privacy, GDPR in Europe. How do you deal with that? I think that is probably unique to Europe, but that's also something we will have to tackle and we will tackle. That I expect a lot in these spaces.
Yeah. I think what also already has started last year and will definitely accelerate this year is the involvement of regulation in this space.
Yeah.
We had a lot of discussions, and I know that many of our affiliates also had a lot of discussions with regulators around the globe. And so we will, I can make a bet, we will see at least two applications by end of the summer by regulators on a blockchain.
Yeah. To that point, there's INATBA, that's an initiative from the EU. We've also joined that initiative on behalf of the energy sector. And that's really why we try to standardize across industries on blockchain. And the EU also has, will take the lead to also drive standardization in the regulatory field. Because I think that is probably, if you look at tokens and tokenomics, that's probably something that would help the whole sector if there was a little bit more clarity there worldwide on how you would actually deal with that. That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
As we're coming to the end of the podcast, are there any topics that we've not touched on yet that you want to bring up?
I think there's one thing probably to add. What we really experienced from the energy web also now in bringing it live is what it actually takes for a large corporate that runs its processes, etc. So I think apart from the technology and the business opportunities, I think it's also very good for all the listeners on this call to realize if you have existing processes on how you work, etc., operationally, you also need to start thinking through in this new digital world where everybody has private keys, how do you actually run that? Because it will happen, customers will start asking for it, and I think it's another driver of change. It's very natural for the startups and, of course, for us because we're all in it, but I think for large corporates, it's just looking at the operational impact, and we touched upon it a little bit before, how do you value the tokens? When do you pay taxes? How do you deal with it? Where do you store your private keys? What are your processes? What do you do, et cetera, if people leave? So I think that's just an angle that I think, particularly for the corporate listeners, that's very relevant. Also start putting that on your agenda.
The only message I can give at the end is if you haven't dealt with anything and you come from the energy market, the fastest way to learn it is in June in Berlin at the Event Horizon.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. We could certainly keep chatting about blockchain technology for many more hours, and I'm sure we will up at the Event Horizon Summit in Berlin in June. With that, I'd like to thank Ed and Walter for sharing their thoughts and insights today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Energy Singularity. Please do give us a review. Subscribe to receive future episodes, and please do join the conversation and share your own thoughts with us via social media. You can find details on all our social media accounts in the show notes. And we look forward to meeting you all at the Event Horizon Summit this June in Berlin.